and for setting up the services to us at such a time, including warning, and inspired me to speak to you about some of these thoughts that I've been enjoying, and perhaps we could just briefly look at them. So John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 1. Of course, the main thing this morning is we've come together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ for what he has accomplished on our behalf. And it'll be wonderful this morning if we can continue in that vein and leave this place still praising and adoring him for what he has done on our behalf. So John's Gospel, chapter 11, and reading from verse 1. Now a certain man, Lazarus, was sick. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and washed his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews sought of late to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, come, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, and 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha said, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary and her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus had taken away the stone, and Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was at laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We find here in this passage here our Lord Jesus Christ carries his power over death. Listen to him and our brother Jim goes out. Let's see if I can find it, number 271, I think it was. And the last verse says, Eternal death was once our doom. Now death has lost its sting. We rose with Jesus from the tomb. Jehovah's love kicked in. And isn't that wonderful this morning that we have come together to worship and to praise and adore and to remember a living Savior, one who gave his life for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the previous chapters of John showed how that he had the power over the universe, the power over nature. In chapter 2 we read how he changed the water into wine. And then in chapter 4 he healed the nobleman's son. In chapter 5, you remember that scene at the pool of Bethesda, the man that had been lying there for 38 long years and could never get a chance to hop into that pool and be healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ came along on that occasion, and this man was healed without even getting into the pool. And then in chapter 6 we read how he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. And then on this occasion when the disciples were in the boat, the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the water toward them. And in chapter 7 he healed the blind man that was lame from birth. And so here we see the wonderful works of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then we come to chapter 11 in this incident of Lazarus. We find now that our Lord Jesus Christ showed that he had the power over death. He was able to control the ultimate manifestation of what sin has introduced into the universe, death itself. And what a wonderful story that is. And we can look at it from three angles this morning. We can look at it evangelically, how that we ourselves, we were in that situation. We read in Ephesians, and you have it quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You and I, we were dead, we had no interest. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He spoke to our hearts, made us realize that He was the life. He was the life giver. He had the power over life and death. And we put our faith and trust in Him. And just like our Lord Jesus Christ gave to Lazarus new life when He said, Lazarus, come forth. So you and I, at one stage in our lives, when we trusted Him as our own and personal Savior, we felt that new life just come into our being. And as we sat around this table this morning, we remember our Lord Jesus Christ and the one who came from heaven's glory. And we think about that time. Just think back on that occasion. I think back on that occasion when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I felt that wonderful feeling, although before it wasn't there, but I felt that it come into my life, and I felt that I was then, from that very point in time, a child of God. And it was all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And how grateful we would be. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He performed these miracles. And through it all, He showed His love to all and sundry. Let's just read a verse in chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of, that you might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. And so therefore we rejoice this morning in the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf, and we have come together this morning to worship, to praise, and to adore a living Savior. Praise God. And we can leave this place this morning so rejoicing, so praising, so glorifying His name. But then we must also look at the home scene, first of all, and of course the Jewish nation. I suppose sometimes we forget about the Jewish folk, and sometimes we might, you know, speak about them, maybe not in a nice way, but they are the people of God, and they are His chosen people. And this passage speaks to us prophetically how that God Himself even is going to redeem Israel to Himself. I'm not a great expert on those matters, but I think if we just read two passages of Scripture, it will really help us. So we turn to Zechariah. We'll just read these two passages, and I think they speak for themselves how that the Lord will be glorified by Israel. Zechariah chapter 12. And we read from verse 9, as it shall come to pass that in the day that it will, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come up against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hedron, Monon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. And there we find out that Israel one day will mourn for the things that they have done. But let's turn over to Ezekiel. And praise God, this is the good part of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and reading from verse 1. In the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and he shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and he shall live, and he shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And he shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and he shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall he know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have performed it, saith the Lord. And so there we have those two wonderful passages which tell us how the children of Israel will be redeemed back to God. And oh, what a rejoicing time that's going to be when we all, as the hymn writer says, when we all see Jesus, and you and I will be amongst those that in that day will praise and adore our Lord Jesus Christ. But then just lastly, very briefly, this scene of Lazarus, it is a scene also that brings us right into the home. And it's something perhaps that can speak to our own heart. We find that this home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha in Bethany, it was a very, very popular place with our Lord Jesus Christ. He often went in there and rested when he passed by. It was the same place where Mary anointed him with the alabaster box of ointment. And so it was a very, very favorite place of our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we find that this home suffered this tragedy of a brother being taken away. We might think that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is his favorite place, his favorite family maybe, and he might have spared them that situation where Lazarus died. We know how upset they were. We know how upset even the folk were that came. They said, could not this man who healed the blind, could he not have caused perhaps this man not to have died? The people came around and comforted Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha themselves. Lord, if they had been here, our brother would not have died. But our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, had his reasons. And you know, sometimes things might happen to us in our lives, whether it be sickness or whatever. This house, even though it has been the favorite place of our Lord Jesus Christ, it suffered this tragedy where one member of the family was taken away, and there we find them in this terrible grief situation. And even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared on the scene, and we find that our Lord Jesus Christ wept, and he must have seen the hearts of all those that were around and about on that occasion too. But we find that this home was not free from any illness or whatever problems there might be in the world. And it happened to them. But praise God, we sang that hymn there, the last hymn that we sang. What did it say? It says, hence through all the changing seasons, trouble, sickness, sorrow, woe. Nothing changes God's affection, love divine shall bring us through. Soon shall all thy blood poor children round the throne their anthem raise, and in songs of rich salvation shout to God eternal praise. Nothing changes God's affection. No matter what might happen, what might occur in our lives, what sickness we might be in, nothing changes God's affection. And we find here that our Lord Jesus Christ, as he later explained to Martha and Mary, we find that his love to them shows through. But there was a grand purpose in all this as far as our Lord Jesus Christ was concerned. We find that there, first of all, there was the glory of God and his Son. He was going to show to them that he himself was the resurrection and the life, and that God may be glorified. Secondly, the disciples themselves, what happened on that occasion, strengthened their belief in him, made them stronger. And then we read also how that many in the community, when they saw what had happened, we read there that many, when they saw what had happened, they believed on his name. Many came to know our Lord Jesus Christ through that occasion. And so we find that God had his purposes in all these things. And so we find that the death of Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus, was a great evangelical message that affected the lives of others. How often the community around has been touched by the manner in which people could behave under the circumstances of stress and grief. We might be tempted at times to doubt the wisdom and the love of God and the compassion of God. But this is because we cannot see the whole picture, but we shall know when we reach the glory above. And so, dear brethren and sisters, it is important for you and I, as certain things come into our lives, that we rely and we realize that nothing changes God's affection. And as he touches our lives in many ways, that we, as we have done even this morning, may give him praise and glory and worship him in every way. Mary and Martha, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ proved to them who he was. We know who he is, the Son of God, who gave himself on Calvary's cross that we might be redeemed back to himself. And we praise him that we have had this opportunity to remember him by partaking of these emblems this morning.